Chapter 20. Nesta could barely stand to be near Cassian as they flew over Valaris. Every glance, every scent of him, every touch while he carried her down to the river house grated on her skin, threatening to bring her back to last night when she'd been starved for any taste of him. Thankfully, Cassian didn't speak to her, barely looked at her, and by the time the sprawling manor along the river appeared, she'd forgotten to be annoyed by his silence. 2 weeks up at the house, and the city suddenly loomed large. Too loud, too full of people. "This meeting will be fast," Cassian promised as they landed on the front lawn, as if he'd read the tension in her body. Nesta said nothing, unable to speak with the churning in her stomach. Who would be here? Which of them would she have to face, to endure them judging her so-called progress? They'd probably all heard of her fight with Elaine. Gods, would Elaine be present? She followed Cassian into the beautiful house, barely noting the round table in the heart of the entry, crowned with a massive vase full of freshly cut flowers, barely noting the silence of the house. Not a servant to be seen. But Cassian paused before a landscape painting of a towering barren mountain, void of life yet somehow thrumming with presence. Snow and pines crusted the smaller peaks around it, but this strange, bald mountain? Only a black stone jutted from its top. A monolith, Nesta realized, stepping closer. Cassian murmured,
"I didn't realize Feyre had painted Ramiel."
The sacred mountain from the Blood Rite. Indeed, three stars faintly glowing in the twilight skies above the peak. It was a near-perfect real-life rendering of the Night Court's insignia.
"I wonder when she saw it,"
Cassian mused, smiling faintly. Nesta didn't bother to suggest Feyre might have simply peered into Rhysand's mind. Cassian continued onward, leading her down the hall without another word. Nesta steeled herself as he stopped before the study doors, the same room where she'd sat and received a public lashing, and then flung one open. Rhys and Feyre sat on the sapphire couch before the window. Asriel leaned against the mantel. Amryn had curled herself into an armchair, bundled in a gray fur coat, as if the nip in the air today were a blast of winter. No Elaine, no Morrigan. Feyre's gaze was wary, cold, but it warmed as she smiled at Cassian, who strode over to her and kissed her cheek, or tried to. He said to Rhys, "Really? She's shielded even in here?" Rhys stretched out his long legs, crossing one ankle over the other. "Even in here." Cassian rolled his eyes and plopped onto the armchair beside Amryn's, surveying her fur coat and saying, "It's barely cold today." Amryn's teeth flashed. "Keep talking like that and it'll be your pelt I wear tomorrow." Nesta might have smiled had Amryn not turned toward her. Tension, thick and painful, stretched between them. Nesta refused to look away. Amryn's red lips curled, her bob of black hair gleaming. Feyre cleared her throat. "All right, Az, let's hear it." Asriel folded his wings, shadows writhing around his ankles and neck. "Queen Briallen has been busier than we thought, but not in the way we expected." Nesta's blood went cold. The queen who had leaped into the cauldron of her own free will, desperate to be turned young and immortal. She'd emerged a withered crone and immortal, doomed to be old and bent forever. Asriel went on,
"In the week I've been watching her, I learned what her next steps are."
The way he hesitated before he said learned said enough. He'd tortured it out of someone. Many people. Nesta glanced at his scarred hands, and Asriel tucked them behind his back, as if he noted her attention.
"Get on with it,"
Amryn snapped, rustling in her chair.
The other queens indeed fled from Briallen weeks ago, as Eris said. She alone sits in the throne room of their shared palace. And what Eris revealed about Baron was true, too. The High Lord visited Briallen on the continent, pledging his forces to her cause. A muscle ticked in Asriel's jaw. But Briallen's gathering of armies, the alliance with Baron, is only the auxiliary force to what she has planned. He shook his head, shadows slithering over his wings. Briallen wishes to find the cauldron again, in order to retrieve her youth.
She'll never attain the cauldron, Amryn said, waving a hand gleaming with rings. No one but us, Miriam and Draken, know where it's hidden. Even if Briallen did uncover its location, there are enough wards and spells on it that no one could ever break through.
Briallen knows this,
Asriel said gravely. Nesta's stomach churned. Asriel nodded to Cassian.
What Vasa suspected is true. The Death Lord Kosche has been whispering in Briallen's ear. He remains trapped at his lake, but his words carry on the wind to her. He is ancient. His depth of knowledge fathomless. He pointed Briallen toward the Dread Trove, not for her sake, but for his own ends. He wishes to use it to free himself from his lake. And Briallen is not the puppet we believed her to be. She and Kosche are allies, he added to Cassian. You need to ask Eris whether Baron knows about this and the Trove.
Cassian nodded to the ensuing silence. Nesta found herself asking, What's the Dread Trove? Amryn's eyes glowed with a remnant of her power. The cauldron made many objects of power long ago, forging weapons of unrivaled might. Most were lost to history and war, and when I went into the prison, only three remained. At the time, some claimed there were four, or that the fourth had been unmade, but today's legends only tell of three. The mask, Rhys murmured, the harp, and the crown. Nesta had a feeling none of them were good. Feyre frowned at her mate. They're different from the objects of power in the Hewn City? What can they do? Nesta had tried her best to forget that night she and Amryn had gone to test her so-called gift against the horde within the unhallowed catacombs. The objects had been half imprisoned in the stone itself, knives and necklaces and orbs and books, all shimmering with power, none of it pleasant. For the Dread Trove to be worse than what she'd witnessed? The mask can raise the dead, Amryn answered for Rhys. It is a death mask molded from the face of a long-forgotten king. Wear it, and you may summon the dead to you, command them to march at your will. The harp can open any door, physical or otherwise. Some say between worlds. And the crown, Amryn shook her head. The crown can influence anyone, even piercing through the mightiest of mental shields. Its only flaw is that it requires close physical proximity to initially sink its claws into a victim's mind. But wear the crown, and you could make your enemies do your bidding, could make a parent slaughter their child, aware of the horror but unable to stop themselves.
And these things were lost? Nesta demanded. Rhys threw her a frown. Those who possessed them grew careless. They were lost in ancient wars, or to treachery, or simply because they were misplaced and forgotten.
What does it have to do with the cauldron? Nesta pushed.
Like calls to like, Feyre murmured, looking to Amryn, who nodded. Because the trove was made by the cauldron, so might the trove find its maker.
She angled her head.
Briallen was made, though. Can't she track the cauldron herself?
Amryn drummed her fingers on the arm of her chair. The cauldron aged Briallen to punish her.
A glance at Nesta.
Or punish you, I suppose.
Nesta kept her face carefully blank. Amryn went on.
But I think you took something from it when you seized your power, girl.
Feyre looked toward Nesta, her voice soft as she asked,
What exactly happened in the cauldron?
Every image, thought, feeling pelted Nesta, smothered her exactly as she had to smother the rising power in her at her sister's question. No one spoke. They all just stared.
Cassian cleared his throat.
Does it matter?
Everyone faced him, and Nesta nearly sagged with relief at the shift in their attention, even as something kindled in her chest at his words. His defense of her.
It'd help us gain insight, Feyre said.
We can discuss it later,
Cassian began, but Nesta straightened. They all halted, twisted toward her. Her mouth went dry. Nesta swallowed against it, praying they didn't see the shaking hands she tucked under her thighs. Her thoughts swarmed her, each memory screaming, and she didn't know where to start, how to explain it. Breathe. It calmed her mind whenever Cassian led her through their exercises, so she let herself inhale, then slowly exhale. Again. A third time. And into the silence, Nesta said, I wasn't aware of what I took, just that I was taking things the cauldron did not want me to have. It seemed fitting, given what it was doing to me. There, that was all she could say, would say. But Feyre nodded, eyes shining bright with something Nesta could not place. Feyre said to Amryn,
So, it's highly possible that the cauldron couldn't imbue Briallen with the ability to track it. All it could do was give Briallen the ability to track anything it made, a sorry shadow of the original gift. The others nodded, and Nesta dared a look at Cassian, who gave her a soft smile, like in saying the few words she'd managed to get out, she'd somehow done something worthy. Her chest tightened. Had she done so many unworthy things that her scant contribution earned that much praise?
Nesta forced herself to ignore the nauseating thought as Amryn continued.
If you were to gather all three objects, you could use the potency of their combined made essence to track down the cauldron, no matter where it is.
Not to mention gain three objects of terrible power,
Azriel added grimly, capable of granting even a human army an advantage against the Fae.
Raise the dead, Cassian mused, his face tightening, any trace of that approving smile gone. And you'd have an unstoppable force able to march without rest or food. Open any door and you could move that army of the dead wherever you wished. And with unrestrained influence, you could make any enemy territory and its people bow to you.
Silence again filled the room. Nesta's heart thundered.
And all Kosche wants is to be free from his lake?
Rhys asked Azriel. But Amryn answered, No one really knows the full scope of the Trove's powers, beyond freeing him from his lake. Kosche may very well know something about the Trove that we don't. Some greater power that manifests when all three are united.
Rhys looked at Azriel, who nodded grimly. What is a Death Lord?
Nesta asked into the silence. Their stares struck her like stones.
Cassian answered, tapping the scar on the side of his neck. I told you of Lanthus, the wound he gave me. He is literally deathless. Nothing can kill him. Kosche, too, cannot be killed. He's the master of his own death.
He lowered his hand from the horrible scar. The gleam in his eye suggested that his thoughts had turned toward her own powers. She ignored the thing that writhed within her in answer and confirmation, cold fire licking up her spine. Mercifully, Cassian went on. They are Death Lords. The words hung in the air. Rhys cursed.
I'd forgotten about Lanthus.
Cassian threw him a dry look, again tapping that scar.
I haven't.
To Nesta's horror, Amryn shuddered.
Amryn?
Feyre cleared her throat. So they are trying to find this dread trove in order to track down the cauldron for Briallen, and likely free Kosche in the process, and launch a war with Baron as her ally. That would grant them whatever territories they wish, or give some to Kosche, depending on what bargain he strikes with Briallen, probably one to his advantage.
Again, Briallen is well aware of Kosche's insidious influence,
Azriel said.
If her strings are being pulled, it is only because she's allowing it to achieve her own ends.
Cassian said,
So we've got them on one front, and Baron here, ready and eager to go into war with Briallen so he might expand his own territory after the carnage halts.
Nesta's head spun. She had no idea any of this was occurring. She'd picked up hints, but nothing that had confronted her with the knowledge of the danger that faced them. To be on the brink of such disaster again? She shifted in her seat. Feyre asked Azriel,
Briallen has not found the Dread Trove yet?
Azriel shook his head.
Not as far as I could tell. The Dread Trove was last rumored to be here in Prithian. That's all Kosche knows, apparently. We have that on our side, at least. Briallen won't risk coming over here, not yet, even with Baron as an ally, and Kosche is bound to his lake. But they are readying Briallen to come, gathering her realm's greatest spies and warriors. There was already a host of them at the Queen's Palace. Why Briallen and Kosche took Eris's soldiers is something I still haven't figured out.
He gestured to Cassian.
You need to meet with Eris.
Cassian nodded.
I will. But we'll have to shore up the borders, warn the courts, tell them of Baron's plan. To hell with secrecy. We'd expose Eris in doing that,
Rhys countered.
And lose a valuable ally,
he added when Cassian rolled his eyes.
Eris is a snake, but he's useful. His motives might be selfish and power-hungry, but he can offer us a great deal.
He frowned and said carefully,
I agree with Az. I want you to update Eris on this, as you promised.
Fine, Cassian agreed.
But what of warning the courts about the trove?
No,
Rhys said.
We'd only risk one of them going after it. Baron would send out every warrior and spy of his to find it first. That he hasn't done so already suggests he doesn't know about the trove. But we need Eris to confirm.
Feyre asked, Why didn't we look for the trove when we were hunting for the cauldron ourselves?
The book was easier to find, Amryn said, and it has been 10,000 years since anyone used the trove. I assumed it was all at the bottom of an ocean.
So we find it,
Cassian declared.
Any ideas?
Made objects tend not to wish to be found by just anyone, Amryn cautioned. That they have faded from memory, that even I didn't think of them immediately in the fight against Highburn, suggests that perhaps they willed it that way, wanted to stay hidden. True things of power have such gifts.
You say that as if the objects have a sentience,
Cassian said.
They do,
Amryn said, storms drifting across her eyes.
They were made in a time when wild magic still roamed the earth, and the Fae were not masters of all. Made objects back then tended to gain their own self-awareness and desires. It was not a good thing.
Amryn's face clouded with memory, and a chill whispered over Nesta's spine.
Rhys mused, Just as I'm able to alter a mind to forget,
Perhaps they have a similar gift.
But Briallen is made, Amryn said. Nesta's mouth again went dry. When Briallen was made, it likely removed from her the Dread Trove's glamour, for lack of a better term, recognized her as kin. Where she might have glanced over a mention of the items before and never thought twice, now it stuck. Or perhaps called to her, presented itself in a dream. All of them, all at once, looked at Nesta. You, Amryn said quietly, are the same. So is Elaine. Nesta stiffened.
If they're all enchanting you to forget, how is it that Azriel was able to remember and bear the information here?
Perhaps once you learn of it, recognize it, the spell is broken, Amryn said. Or perhaps the Dread Trove wants us to know of it now, for some dark reason of its own.
The hair on Nesta's arms rose. Cassian shifted in his seat. So we track down the Dread Trove. How?
Elaine spoke from the doorway, having appeared so silently that they all twisted toward her. Using me.